Welcome to the Classy Marine Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, we could probably easily, like, break this podcast up into two parts, like WWE stuff and then AEW stuff, because yes. We had Fyter Fest, which aired last night, as, you know, we're recording this on Sunday. But there's some pretty sizable WWE news, not so much on the actual shows.
Well, the show was had some interesting stuff happen this week as
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, they weren't bad shows. I guess we could also talk about Stomping Ground?
Was that this? Yeah, it was. Yeah, this would be our Stomping Ground recap.
Recording on a Sunday is so weird.
It is. Well, and it's also, I don't know, stuff felt weird this week. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, there's been some natural, you know, just out in the world life stuff, which is part of the reason we're recording later than usual. I, for example, I've not seen all of Fyter Fest yet.
Okay.
So I've seen.
How much of it have you seen? And do you care about us spoiling it?
Yes, don't spoil it.
Okay.
which is the thing. Like, I honestly, because I was watching it right before we
came
here, and we had to stop because it was time to record.
Right. We've kind of got a limited time
and
crunch here.
And what's really impressive, though, with it is, so
are you starting with the buy-in?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw that.
Okay.
And I'm a couple matches into
because apparently buy-in. Meltzer did not like it at all.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
But so Double or Nothing happened. We talked about Double or Nothing. We both liked Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And then this weird kind of thing happened where it passed and nothing kind of stuck with me.
Okay.
It was very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a whole, other than like, oh man, Jon Moxley is here.
Moxley's here, you know, the emotional Cody versus Dustin
right,
match.
Right. But there were a few obvious highlight moments, but there wasn't a whole lot of like, oh boy, I can't wait to tune in on Monday that a good pay-per-view usually, you know, gives you.
Right.
Now, obviously, there's nothing to tune in on Monday. That's fine.
Right.
It has a different job to do. But it was this weird thing where I was like, and I was kind of sitting there. So with the Saudi Arabia shows,
yeah,
we have talked about them. We referred to them disparagingly for the most part as expensive house shows.
Yes.
We've used that as a put down. These are nothing more than expensive house shows.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, I was like, Double or Nothing was kind of
outside of Hangman Page becoming a top contender with the Battle Royal,
yeah,
and then Jericho being the other top contender and the main event.
Yeah, but like,
That sets up something down the road, but it's so far down the road.
Right, it's
so
very, very far down the road. Also, I kind of knew that.
Right.
And again, none of this, so it just kind of made me take a step back, and I'm like, okay, dude, is, you know, Glorified House Show the insult that I'm meaning it to be?
Yeah.
I don't know, because part of the reason Raw and SmackDown in particular are such a struggle to watch, I think we talked about this last week, was they're just house shows that are televised at this point.
Right.
The story doesn't move forward. Things that happen on them don't necessarily count in the story, where it's like, oh, you know, wrestler A beat wrestler B 3 times, yet they're somehow on the same footing.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, with house shows, yeah, he beat them, you know, 7 times in a row because we are highlight, you know, we're going to make the house show crowd feel good and have the face win.
Right.
But none of these actually count for the actual show. Only that's how Raw and SmackDown feel all of a sudden.
Very true.
Not all of a sudden, but currently.
Yeah.
And so I was all very ready to kind of expand that, oh, they're nothing more than glorified house shows, to being like, this is why I'm struggling with Raw and SmackDown right now. And then we got Double or Nothing, and I'm like, It doesn't stick with me. I enjoyed it. And so because of that, going into Fyter Fest, when I was like, oh, I know I'm not going to be able to watch it live on Saturday. I know we're pushing it already for recording.
Yeah.
I'll watch what I can. I don't really care. But watching it now, like the you know, hour and a half that I've watched has kind of turned me like, no, don't spoil this for me. Like, I'm
okay.
I want to get back into this.
Would it be fair to say that we would probably go more in depth into Fyter Fest in a few days when we record for next week?
Yeah, we can obviously do that.
Okay. So how far have you gotten so far? So I know exactly how much I can talk about.
To watch the buy-in,
uh-huh,
watch the opening match, Watched the women's triple threat.
Okay.
And watched the entrances to the Fatal 4-Way with Hangman Page and everyone.
Okay. Well, yeah, and the I feel like there were more things happening on Fyter Fest to set up for future shows.
Right.
Than Double or Nothing.
I think it was the triple threat tag team match.
Yes.
Where they said, hey, the winner of this gets to go into this match, and the winner of that match
gets
is
the first
automatic
round bye in the tag team tournament.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I love that.
Right.
Because that's a huge complaint.
It's a bit of a mouthful to say the stipulation for it. But,
right. But yeah. I am very ready for consequences.
Yes.
And I'm ready for big, long, convoluted consequences.
Right. Because, you know, they had been saying for a while that, you know, wins and losses will matter in AEW. And I feel like that's your first real example of, you know, that they're setting, like, this match is for another match to get into this other match or this other thing.
Right.
And even the Fatal 4-Way that you just watch the entrances for, the winner of that apparently is going to face Kip Sabian at Fight for the Fallen. And, you know, a few other things happen later in the night that kind of also, you know, allude to future matches.
I haven't gone total media blackout on this, so, like, there are some stipulations that I am aware of.
Right.
But, yeah, it's very nice to... Mm-hmm. AEW also has the burden of introducing all of their titles and immediately wanting them to be big deals, feel like big deals, like you do with any title. You know, we have this problem where it's like, all right, we have this brand new title, and this guy's going to fight this guy. And it's like, yeah, okay, why? And so the way they're doing it, whoever wins the title will feel like they have gone through a journey to get there.
Yeah.
They have, you know, had to overcome several things. It's not this just, we picked our two favorite. I think a great example is the debut of the Universal title.
Right.
Which, you know, was all decided basically in one night.
Yeah.
And, like, we were happy how it ended up because Finn Balor was the inaugural winner.
We just thought the belt was ugly, but other than that,
the belt was ugly. And I was, you know, all right, we're going to, you know, unveil this new title, and the contenders are going to be this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why them?
Yeah.
It's them just because you picked them.
Right. I mean, I appreciate it because, you know, in that instance, it made everyone feel like Finn Balor was a big deal off the get-go because he had just been drafted like the week before.
Right. And again, yes, appreciate that outcome.
Yeah.
But how we got there wasn't a huge fan of. I really like this way where, you know, everyone...
They established the wrestlers first.
Right.
And
there's people like Private Party is a good example of, like, I kind of knew nothing about them.
Right. And I feel like the biggest success of Fyter Fest was establishing people that weren't a household name. Like, I felt like, even though they didn't win the match, Private Party came out looking the best out of that buy-in match. That they really, like, it was a good introduction to them.
Right.
And people were like, oh, these guys are something different. They're something special.
And you have, you know, in theory, we're all going to sit down and agree to believe that everybody on this show wants these championships, singles, tag, whatever it is. The championship is the goal for everybody.
Right.
And it was nice to be like, Private Party, this people you don't know, you know, but this is their pathway to that championship. They need to win this, then this, then this, and then they have a and WWE has nothing like that.
Yeah.
Where you're like, hey, you know, I don't know, but like, Heath Slater has no path to a championship. There's no, like, hey, you need to beat this guy, then you need to win this tournament, and then you have a shot at this.
Right.
It is so basically arbitrary of, like, and this guy is the number one contender.
Right. It's just, you know, further proof that they're kind of making it up as they go, which is, you know, sometimes you have to do that, but at the same time, it does help to establish something weeks and weeks ahead of time.
Right. And I don't mind the whole... You know, hey, I hate you.
Sure.
You're the champion. You love being champion. I want to take away everything you love. I'm coming after that champion. And then you get, you know, hot-shotted to number one contendership. I'm not saying never do that. I'm just saying it's really nice that anybody...
Well, yeah. Like, it's believable when his guy's like Samoa Joe. Like, you know, because now he's going for the WWE Championship. and that just kind of fits Joe's character. He doesn't care about waiting in line or
right.
getting, or you know, tying together a few wins or anything like that. He's kind of the skipping from the line type of character.
But there's so many guys where it's like, why do you only care about being champion for one promo in January
yeah.
where you suddenly really want to win the Rumble?
Right.
And then every other time, you're just here to have a good time,
sure.
Elias.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Elias is great. They're clearly pushing Elias.
Mm-hmm.
But he just comes out and talks about how other people suck. He doesn't have any stated championship ambitions, which I assume he should have. He is a wrestler.
I mean, except for that one time he was really interested in that 24/7 championship for that one That's night and stupid. Hasn't carried yeah. out it since. So, since we're on the subject of WWE, there was an announcement this past Thursday, I believe, that WWE hired new creative directors for both Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
Paul Heyman is the new creative director for Raw, and then they've hired Eric Bischoff as the new creative director for SmackDown. The reason for that one was more because of his experience of dealing with studio execs in his time with WCW, and so that would help, hopefully help establish a good working relationship with Fox for SmackDown in the fall.
Yeah.
There was, I believe it was someone within the company had basically compared these new positions with how Triple H runs NXT, where, you know, it's his thing, he runs it, Vince just owns the company.
Yeah.
And ultimately he gets the final say, but he's more hands-off when it comes to NXT. I'm not sure how much of that I believe.
Yeah,
Or how long that's going to last, because, you know, Vince might be able to hand them the reins for a little while, but as soon as he sees something he doesn't like or he gets the slightest whiff of something not going as well as it could be, then I have a feeling he's going to take, you know, complete control once again.
So let's, so break down
the
announcement and speculate what it actually means. First of all, this is not starting Monday. This is not starting this week. It's starting soon.
And then we were hearing conflicting reports because there was someone had announced that, and then like the next day or 2 days later they said, oh, it's happening now.
It's happening. It's not immediate.
Right.
It's, you know, imminent.
Yeah, I think I believe Paul Heyman was the one that said that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that means nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, if you don't have a timeline, if you don't have it starting this week, this day, and I get they don't want to be like, hey, this is the date that the Paul Heyman era starts.
Right.
Because if you're doing a good job, you know, you kind of coast into it. When you hand off a show from one showrunner to the next, theoretically, it should be a seamless transition.
I think once they get through Extreme Rules, it's probably when they'll get as much of the reins as they're going to get.
I also don't know if Paul Heyman's job is starting the same week as Eric Bischoff's job.
Right, because Paul Heyman has been working behind the scenes doing creative work for, you know, a wide variety of segments since the beginning of the year.
Yes.
So it's kind of been a gradual thing for him anyway, whereas I believe you had pointed out when we were talking about it that Eric Bischoff hasn't been backstage at a WWE, you know, event in a long time.
No, he showed up for Raw 25,
yeah,
and that's just kind of wave and say hi.
Right, but he hasn't worked in a behind-the-scenes capacity in a long time with WWE.
No,
so there's a whole entire culture that he needs to get kind of reacquainted with.
Yeah, this is, I mean, his time having any creative input in WWE is pre-TNA.
Yeah.
So it has been a long time.
Yeah.
I also think, all right, so big cynical flag here.
Right.
But it is very possible that this is hello to massive creative names in this industry. Here are very large paychecks.
Yeah.
Here are very nice titles to sit in the corner and do nothing, and definitely don't go to AEW.
Right. And at the same time, there's a possibility that this is just a carrot dangling in front of the audience. Like, oh, we know these names. Mm-hmm. They're behind this, so maybe creatively it'll be better.
Yes.
You know, which means it better get better soon.
Well,
or else fans are really going to tune out.
I mean, I will say, like, I saw the announcement, and then after I figured out it wasn't, like, a kayfabe news
right.
article. I was like, oh, this is happening. Very excited. And just like kind of through the day, it simmered down. It's like, okay, so I feel like we have this Creative Is Different Now announcement every 6 months where like Bruce Pritchard was announced to be like coming back and he was going to have a heavy hand in creative.
Right. Which he has.
Yeah, but like, so?
Yeah.
Look at the end product. So? Yeah. But we would have announcements like Triple H is now, you know, going to be backstage calling, you know, all future Raws or SmackDowns.
Yeah.
And that like announcement was made. And then all the articles like, all right, everything you love about NXT is coming. And I was like, yeah, no.
Right.
I mean, honestly, even smaller things were like, this story got out of like Max Landis is going to be, you know, in the backstage. And this was, you know, a few years ago now. But it kind of leaked out. And the commentary was like, he did wrestling isn't wrestling. He's going to, you know, set him right.
Fix everything, yeah.
And I to get the cynical complaints out of the way, I've, you know, been on this ride before.
Sure.
I've seen that this name is backstage fixing things.
Especially since we're in this period of the last few months where WWE has been throwing everything it can at the wall to try to get more eyes on it. And I mean, when you look at the live crowd numbers from this past weekend, which were abysmal, you know, there's a lot of room for people to look at this and be like, okay, this is just another desperate move to try to get a few more eyes, or to get to this, get some Attitude Era, you know, eyes back on the show.
Well, and that's the, you know, I'm very excited about this, but also, Paul Heyman's not that much younger than Vince.
No.
Eric Bischoff's not that much younger than Vince.
Right.
They were both at their creative peak at the same era that Vince was at his creative peak.
Right. And it's been a long... Well, I mean, in Eric Bischoff's case, the one optimistic thing that you can come out of this is that he hasn't really been in charge in a creative sense of a wrestling product in quite some time. So he might have some fresh ideas.
Yes, he might.
Whereas Paul Heyman has been running a lot of segments over the past 6-7 months.
Right.
It is also a time where a lot of those segments have felt kind of stale.
Well, it's like, again, I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
I love both of these names. Yeah. I would love to see, you know, that kind of thing. But I also keep coming back to, like, they were at their creative peak when Vince was at his creative peak. When they were all... Yeah. Challenging each other. And do you remember when Ronda Rousey called Becky Lynch a millennial?
Yeah.
And the visceral, vile bitterness at the young people that was clearly not coming from her,
right? Because she was like 2 days older than Becky.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it was clearly coming from Vince. And I don't want to say Paul Heyman is past his time, has nothing to offer. I don't want to say Eric Bischoff. I honestly don't know what they have to offer here. But when we complain about The Undertaker coming back, and we complain about Goldberg coming back, and we complain about them taking these moments from the part-timers when they're over the hill and they can't, you know, go in the ring like they used to be able to, and all of the bright new up-and-comers who are getting squashed and pushed aside, there are bright new up-and-comer creative minds, there are bright new up-and-coming people to run wrestling shows that are definitely getting pushed aside for Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with you guys. I want these shows to be better.
Sure.
I want these guys to come in with huge, you know, just like course corrections, you know, righting these ships. I do think that, and you know, even if I'm stressing out about it being these two particular guys, I think if Raw is under leadership A and SmackDown is under different leadership B, just that alone is going to be an improvement.
Yeah.
You have them on different shows. Mm-hmm. You have naturally competitive people like Heyman and Bischoff wanting their show to be the better one and willing to put in the work to make their show the better one.
Right. Yeah, and I'm hoping with it, it comes a more just a more starch separation of the superstars.
Yeah.
The wrestlers, you know, doing away with the whole wild card thing because it hasn't done anything except confuse people.
Right, absolutely.
You know, give an excuse for Roman Reigns to be on Raw every week, who hasn't been on SmackDown for like two, 3 weeks now.
We talked about that last week, and somebody on Reddit was kind enough to actually make the count that Roman Reigns has been on 7 of the last 8 Raws and has missed 2-3 SmackDowns in that same amount of time.
Yeah.
So Roman Reigns, the SmackDown star, has been on Raw more than SmackDown.
Right. So if you want him on Raw, just leave him on Raw. Like I understand the original reason for moving him to SmackDown is, you know, to make it feel like, oh, SmackDown's a big deal. Well, then why is he not on the show?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I want there to be a more, you know, starch separation of wrestlers. To kind of like further prove that these are different shows, and I don't know. I think Eric Bischoff had done this Q&A thing a few years ago where, he's basically arguing that same thing needed to be done on top of shooting both shows differently. Like, at least one of them doesn't need to be as glossy as, you know, well, like, one needs to be a little bit more gritty, you know, something to really differentiate the two. Because once you get whiff of both of them are just the same show with, you know, occasionally different wrestlers, then, you know, that's where you run the risk of people losing interest in one or both of those shows.
Yeah. So, we had the NXT comparison with, like, oh, they're going to be Triple H for Raw and SmackDown. And I feel like, again, just to be cynical and burst your bubble here, Vince McMahon doesn't watch NXT not because he trusts Triple H to do this thing and he wants to pass. He doesn't care about NXT.
No, you're right.
It doesn't affect him. It's not on his radar. Mm-hmm. It is not a thing that enters his mind as being worth his time.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you see that with little effort that's been put behind NXT wrestlers that get moved up.
Right.
Clearly, it was just the move was done by people who are vaguely aware of them, but they have no real intention in mind or plan.
It's a, I need a pop tonight. Give me the one you have that will get the biggest pop.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff being the Triple H, you know, to NXT for these two shows, and Vince giving them that level of creative freedom, that's just absolutely flat out not going to happen.
Yeah.
That is not how Vince operates. He sees these shows differently, and so that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
The best hope is that Vince will be genuinely too busy and concerned with XFL to be able to, and he is putting this show in other hands. I mean, I would say the biggest hope is that, you know, if something happens that is good but he doesn't like, well, it's too late, but Vince will write a 8 o'clock promo at 7:45, so like, I don't know if there's a too late.
Right. I don't know. And maybe this is a question I'll ask again, the closer we get to it, but do you think Fox is already having buyer's remorse?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know what the contract is.
Yeah.
We know it's big.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know what big is. We just have, you know, people who know assuring us that it's big. But again, Fox is not in the wrestling business. Fox is in the TV show business, so
they just want ratings.
Yeah, so I don't know if when they're paying for SmackDown and they're paying big wrestling dollars, is that still a drop in the bucket in making a TV show dollars? And we know that they wanted this to, quote unquote, replace UFC.
Yeah.
I will say, UFC's not looking super hot right now.
No.
Mm-hmm. And that's just...
And how much did... Do you remember how much ESPN paid for?
I don't remember.
Okay. Was it anywhere near the WWE numbers? Because I know...
I mean, they paid a good amount.
Yeah.
To get... I mean, because Fox would have rather kept that.
Right. Rather than spending a billion on On SmackDown.
Yeah. I mean, that just is coming from UFC not having star power. There's not a successor to Brock or Ronda or Conor McGregor yet. There probably will be.
Sure.
You know.
And that's just more of a time issue rather than trying to push one thing or the other.
Sports work. Yeah. Like, you know, basketball went through a slump after Michael Jordan left.
Yeah. And then LeBron came back and, or LeBron came in and then that kind of pushed things. And then, you know, Kobe went to a new level.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there will be a new one to come along. Mm. I mean, you know, we had the big home run summer, and then we went through a slump.
Yeah.
So that stuff happens, and that will happen in UFC. I don't think there is regret of spending a lot of money on UFC. With Fox, I don't know. And again, we're approaching. We're about 4 months away from October.
Yeah.
A lot of time to right a ship.
Yeah.
And so once we get through Extreme Rules, we're kind of, you know, crashing towards SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I feel like if SummerSlam doesn't help facilitate an upkick in the, you know, ratings, I feel like once we get into that kind of September, that might be when Fox starts to panic.
Yeah.
And again, I want to reiterate, we keep talking about Fox and Fox's possible Wires Morse Fox deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to note that NBC Universal paid a lot of money to keep Raw.
Right.
Like, you need to look back in this.
They were just like a notch or two below what Fox paid for SmackDown. And like, they were very close numbers.
Well, and I think NBC is going to be paying more for Raw in this new deal than they were paying for both Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
Previously.
Yeah.
And so while we're talking about Fox putting down some money, NBC is going to want to see some, you know, bigger returns from half the wrestling when they just
not
have
like,
Raw.
It's not like, you know, Fox came in, bought SmackDown, and set the price super high, and so, like, the market dictated that NBC bought Raw at that high price. NBC Universal bought Raw first. Like, in the whole, like, when they were negotiating stuff, because they were the ones that said, okay, we'll buy Raw, but you can shop SmackDown around.
Right.
And that's when...
Well, because, and there was...
So, really, like, NBC's kind of the one that set the price that high.
There was talk of everything leaving USA.
Right.
Of Raw, possibly Fox getting both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And Fox just being the network home for WWE.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the way it shook out is the way it shook out, but... Yes, you're going to have Fox wanting some return on their big purchase, but you're going to have NBC and USA wanting some big return on their purchase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you have the superstars for it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which seems like such a insane thing to think or say, because their roster is so huge. So clearly, they have to have someone in there in that roster.
Well, You could say, okay, it would be very easy. Like, you take an Attitude Era roster. You're like, cool. Somebody gets Stone Cold. Somebody gets The Rock. Everybody would be very happy.
Yeah.
You have your two face of the show pillars, and you have a lot to fill in with that. I don't know if you have your two face of the show pillars right now.
Yeah.
Roman and Seth is kind of your best thing.
Yeah, and they're pretty much both on Raw.
Right. Well, and I don't know, because I was 9.
Yeah.
When, you know, in that era, and I'm, you know, spoiler, not 9 right now.
I don't believe it.
So, but like I can't gauge, like, I mean, it felt like The Rock was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Stone Cold was everywhere. I was getting, you know, hey, you got to read this weekly reader about how wrestling is fake and terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it was in the schools.
Well, sure, and that was also before they had a giant roster from the whole WCW buyout.
Right.
So, yeah, it didn't feel like that much of a stretch to have people on both Raw and SmackDown back then.
Yeah, and I remember trying to figure out why Goldberg couldn't fight Stone Cold.
Right.
You know, and like having these playground conversations. I mean, like, but what about... And why can't... And who wrestles in NWO again?
Yeah.
It's not a company?
Yeah.
Like, You have a shirt that says it. So none of that is happening now, but I don't know how much of it that is. I'm not nine and I have the internet now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I you know, I have no kids who are very into stuff, but it feels different. And different isn't necessarily bad. Your success in 2019 is a very looks very different than success
yeah.
in 1999. Just
from sheer, like, you know, there's so many things to draw your eyes yeah. elsewhere. Yeah.
And worlds change. And again, wrestling was in the classroom back then because there was this indoctrination of this thing that you're watching is bad and terrible television and it's fake and you shouldn't like it because it is fake.
Yeah.
That's just not a thing anymore.
No.
They like, you know, the reason it's bad is because it's fake doesn't exist. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, this and we fine and we own it and, you know, going forward and yeah, so what? So is Game of Thrones. You know,
yeah.
We've had the fake, not fake argument a million times and we'll probably have it a million more.
Sure.
But wrestling,
but there's no like taboo aspect of it.
There's yes, you know, we would have class lessons like where as a class we would learn, you know, like don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't watch wrestling.
Yeah,
not exactly, but
essentially all the things that were happening on wrestling, you're being told not to do, not to,
right.
and to watch, and not to emulate.
It's a lot easier to see a, you know, American elementary school teacher needing to tell the class don't watch the Attitude Era over don't watch what's happening on wrestling right now. But that, I mean, but that also just put it in the mainstream, kept it in the mainstream and in the conversation in a way that I don't know if it is anymore.
Yeah.
And again, not 9 years old, don't get a lot of playground time in my job anymore. So like,
right.
I don't know what the conversation around wrestling is. But
if there even really is one.
Right, exactly. I don't know. I don't know. This got off the rails.
It kind of did.
But I want to move on to something else that happened after Stomping Grounds
okay.
on Raw this week.
All right.
Because it was weird.
Okay.
Every week we have this, there's this moment in Raw, in SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
There's this moment I'm like, this perfectly defines why wrestling is terrible now.
Okay.
And it's a different thing every week, which is a problem in and of itself.
Sure.
Like last week, it was like the last week was the no wrestling during commercials.
Yeah.
Thing that started up, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what?
And now there's why? Just this huge run on 2 out of 3 falls matches.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like such a lazy way out of that problem.
Well, why is that a problem?
Right.
Who was like, this is why I can't buy into wrestling is because they keep wrestling. They don't stop for commercials.
Right.
Who, and apparently this was supposedly a Vince mandate of like, they don't do that in real sports. And it's like, this is when you want to pretend to be a real sport? You've been a sports entertainment for years.
Well, you've got, like the rumor is that sports or Fox wants to cover it more like an actual sporting event rather than pro wrestling, even though it's, you know, pro wrestling.
That's cool. That's great. Then Fox can either dictate and just when their commercials show up. Like if you want to do it that way,
sure,
that's fine.
And see, like the easy way to go about this is just have your matches, you know, between commercial breaks. You know, you can go 15 minutes without a commercial break, but apparently that just is unthinkable for WWE.
Go 15 minutes without a commercial break, or yeah, like occasionally you talk to Fox and be like, dude, we're going to go a straight hour, no commercials.
Yeah.
And get everybody on board with that. That's great. But you're a combat sport.
Yeah.
You're boxing, you're MMA.
Yeah.
Both of which have rounds.
Yeah.
That's how the sports are structured,
mm-hmm.
is in
and
rounds.
And you're seeing more and more in sports, like, very quick commercial cutaways for, like, 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? And usually, like, in football, it's, you know, between plays or during a quick timeout or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, 30-second timeout, one commercial.
Yeah. Like, even NASCAR is doing stuff like that. Like, you need... if you can do something like that, like really quick segmented, you know, yeah. like one-off commercials, even if it's during the match, whatever, just, you know, do it, get out of the way and get back to the, well, and, the show.
Yes. Yeah, so sports, your basketball, your football, they have timeouts.
Yeah.
Which you don't have.
Some sports even have TV timeouts.
Yeah. So what, I mean, I guess NASCAR is probably your best, most comparative thing, because that is potentially go.
Yeah.
3 hours of racing.
Right. Because there's going to be moments where you're going to have a long period, because, you know, cautions are the perfect time to take a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Some races just don't have them.
Right.
You know, they just aren't wrecking.
The other, you know, kind of thing is mm-hmm. soccer.
Yeah.
Where they go and then they play for 45 minutes, no commercials.
Right.
And for soccer, it is like soccer, you know, not a judgment on soccer. Soccer is boring, 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 boring. Very exciting moment.
Out of nowhere. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's how NASCAR is as well. Like, you yeah. don't know when a wreck is going to happen.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times, it's while they're at commercial.
And so, the two, you know,
yeah.
trains of thought there is with mm-hmm. soccer. It's like, well, no commercials for 45 minutes.
Right.
And for NASCAR, it's hope they don't wreck because we're going to well, commercial.
And they've started doing the quick commercial cutaways while you still have the picture-in-picture of you right. know, what's going on.
And
that's kind of been the good Band-Aid on that issue.
Right. And then,
so you're right. NASCAR and soccer are the same thing. All right, continue. Next topic.
Well, wrestling has done a couple of those picture-in-pictures
yeah.
while it's happened. I don't. There is, I'm sure, some deal with, like, okay, you can do this for two commercial breaks.
Yeah.
But,
because there are some matches, you know, where they do that, and there's some matches where they don't.
Right. But, like, Applebee's is not going to pay, you know, the same dollar amount for a partial screen yeah. ad as they are for a full screen ad.
Yeah.
I get that.
My only issue with that is those commercials seem to last way too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and that's not even me, like, oh, there's too many commercials or whatever. But when they do the picture-in-picture, it seems like it lasts forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, are we getting back to the match, or are we just not even, like, what are we doing here?
You well, know? And to me, having the, you know, wrestling happening through commercials feels like it's more real.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, I, you know, get how this, you know, I'm easier to immerse. I would love for a match to end in commercial and just be like, well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
We hate that y'all missed it.
But instead, it's a lot more formulaic. Like, you know, when someone's going to do a dive through the ropes, they're about to go to commercial.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so weird that they've used what's supposed to be an exciting move has now become, oh, okay, we're transitioning into commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and that's the one thing that's my biggest complaint about WWE is there's so many things about the show that seem so formulaic.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm okay with them trying to do, like, you know, not have matches during commercial breaks. As long as they try new and different ways to do it. Just coming up with a fix-all 2 out of 3 like 2 out of 3 falls matches, like when you have two or more in one show, like that's when it's obvious, like, okay, you guys,
well, they're obviously doing
it, seems
that.
Like a lazy solution.
They're you know, doing UFC. They're turning their
yeah.
wrestling event into they're putting rounds in it.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay. Honestly, like we mentioned it last week, I barely touched on it because it was like, well, this will be a thing for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like this reeks of, we only care about this for a little bit and it'll go away.
And didn't they give up on, like, wasn't there a match on SmackDown? I think they went to commercial during.
I don't remember.
I think there was.
So this other thing happened this week where Roman was getting beat up by Shane McMahon and his friend, who is Drew McIntyre.
Okay. Okay.
And
wait a second to remember what you're talking about.
And then The Undertaker shows up.
Yeah.
And this is my, like the no commercial thing. That was my last week's. This perfectly defines what's wrong with WWE. This is my this week's perfectly defines what's wrong with WWE.
Okay.
And it was going to be, why would it be The Undertaker? You know, they're part-timers are stomping down up-and-comers. Man, can you imagine if it was Braun Strowman doing that?
Yeah.
Braun Strowman's the main event again. Like, that's all you need. So that was my, like, I'm prepping up for this.
Initial reason why you didn't like it. Yeah.
And that's not it.
Mm-hmm. Was it that weak choke slam?
No, it wasn't that.
Because, like, I've been describing that moment to some people that didn't watch the show, that I heard about it. And they're like, yeah, you remember back in WCW when Diesel would do his power bomb, where he would just kind of, like, lift them up and just throw them without actually following through? Yeah, that's kind of what that chokeslam was. Just no follow through.
So, Undertaker comes in, saves him.
Mm-hmm.
They do this, like, you know, Undertaker and Roman standing in the ring. And I think it was right after that. It might have been, like, a couple more shots, like some reaction shots of the guys. And it cuts to tag team match at Extreme Rules. Here is the graphic. We've already made it.
Mm-hmm.
Roman, Undertaker, Shane, Drew McIntyre. And so Extreme Rules is 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away?
2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks away?
Two or three.
I think it's 3 weeks away.
Okay.
Because why have you already made that match?
Yeah.
The Undertaker, who we did not expect, showed up. What? Weird. Unexpected. Why is that happening?
Right.
Why can't that be a question?
Why does he have a thing against Shane McMahon and not against Roman Reigns?
Why? Yes. Like, you could have a great storyline. Like, yeah, this would be a great 3 week storyline of, like, somebody coming out, like, you start the show next week.
At least, you know, add a few steps between the two, yeah.
You had, like, Shane coming out and being like, hey, what was that all about?
Yeah.
And then you have, like, Drew McIntyre coming out and be like, I'm calling out The Undertaker now.
Yeah.
And you're like, is The Undertaker going to show up tonight? Ooh, mysterious. Like, okay, it happened. Like, we know it's going to be, you know.
Right. I think.
I know the destination.
Yeah.
Like, but the story is, the journey is what I'm showing up for.
The only explanation I can come up with is maybe they're worried about ticket sales and they're worried about it being like Stomping Grounds.
Yeah.
Because Stomping Grounds, they struggled mightily to get a half full arena.
Yeah, I get that. But there is no, this event, this match, now.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just telling you. It's probably what I'm thinking. Yeah.
This match now there's no incentive to watch any more wrestling between now and Extreme Rules.
For that specific storyline,
let's cast aside. Let's say I'm fully on board. Like, Undertaker's back, yay. Undertaker and Roman, I love that pairing.
This is his opportunity to get that taste of the Goldberg match out of his mouth.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I'm very excited for this match. Let's say I have no additional issues with that. Cool. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Don't need to watch your show. Don't need to follow your tweets. Don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
I'll show back up in a couple of weeks. And that leads back to and ties into, to close this out, ties back into the, cool, everything's a house show now.
Yeah, essentially. Like, you know, every episode needs to stop being a promotion for the next pay-per-view and become a promotion for the next week.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to give you, needs to give the fans reason to tune into the next episode of Raw. Or whatever is the next show, you know?
Yes. You are a soap opera, and whether you want to take that as a badge of honor or an insult, soap operas are on 5 days a week, and every episode is meant to feel, A, like you absolutely have to watch it, and B, if you missed it, no problem, you can just jump back in.
Right.
And it's a balance, and I get that it's a balance.
Yeah.
But you have to strike that balance somewhere.
Yeah.
And
they, now they've leaned kind of too far into, you know, if you missed this before, well, here's a ton of replays.
Right.
You know.
I'm being punished almost for not missing your show.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, and I don't, I don't see any way around that.
No.
But yeah, that's the kind of thing where, like, people, I know several people who just watch the, you know, WWE is a monthly TV show. One episode a month. It's the pay-per-view. You get along fine and dandy. You don't miss a thing.
When do you think, not to completely, you know, jump off to another new topic or anything, when do you think we'll finally, like, introduce all of our occasional wrestling fan friends to AEW?
I don't know. I was thinking about that watching it because, you know, All Out's coming up.
Yeah.
And
Like, do we want that to be their first experience, or like would like Fight for the Fallen be a better like, hey, you know, this is a good intro to something that's going to be bigger.
Are you talking about people who show up once a month to watch, or are you talking about people who show up to watch WrestleMania?
Both.
Okay, people who show up to watch once a month, yeah, they can show up whenever.
Right.
I'm thinking about, okay, so there's a group of friends, and I'm sure a lot of people have that, the people who check in once a year.
Yeah.
WrestleMania's happened. Hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
They are, for all your complaints about it, are usually the people who are like, The Rock is hosting. Yeah, I should tune into that.
Yeah.
When you can complain like, oh, The Rock, why is he not doing anything? And you're like, nope, it gets this people and these people. And like, I hate it and I get it. But for those people, for that particular sect of people,
mm-hmm.
I think that there needs to be somebody to latch on to.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be, hey, this person from WWE, they're over here.
Yeah.
And
the Chris Jerichos for, you know, people that were the lapsed fan from years ago.
Right, right.
And then for people who are kind of familiar with WWE today, but not like strict fans about it, that's Moxley.
Right. And I think it will be different people for different people.
Yeah.
To just kind of be like, hey, you know, that guy that you liked, hey, you remember when I was telling you about such and such and you were into it? Well, now he's over here.
Yeah.
And doing great. I mean, also, WrestleMania is 35 years old.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be like, hey, we'd like to have a WrestleMania, please. Like, that's right. Great. Get there.
Yeah. And that could be, their Chicago show every year.
Right. I assume All Out's going to be the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like they don't seem to be... It's us, the fans, who are saying that's their WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Nobody has said this is our... Not even in, you know, interviews where Cody's, going to say, hey, this is our biggest show of the year. We want it to be, you know, our big thing.
Yeah.
Nobody said that. They are all presenting it as just a regular event show, which it is right now.
Right.
You know, and that's part of the problem of this is the big equal to or greater than WrestleMania. It's like, okay, cool.
That's them saying it and not the fans dictating it, you know?
Right. it's a big, you know, show me, don't tell me kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where WrestleMania has worked for, you know, a third of a century,
mm-hmm.
to make it so that when they say WrestleMania, you're like, whoa, that's a thing. I gotta, you know, tune into that because big name.
Do you think by the time we get to All In, we'll have firm, confirmation
all
of
out?
When, or yeah, All Out. When we get to that, we'll have firm confirmation of exactly when the weekly show is going to start.
I'll say close of All Out. I could see them waiting and announcing on the show.
Kind of how they did with the AEW World Championship.
Yeah,
exactly. They just had a segment to introduce it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if...
Because I feel like that would be a perfect spot to... That and maybe one of their free shows. You know? That way people, you know, that aren't necessarily willing to, you know, pay top dollar for mm-hmm. a wrestling show will know that, oh, there's a weekly show coming up.
Well, anybody who, again, you can't stumble across these shows.
No.
I guess if you have
You're
Bleacher Report.
You're more likely to stumble upon their TNT show.
Yeah. If you have Bleacher Report for something else and you're just desperate mm-hmm. for something and you're like, this is free, okay, maybe there's a small group of people who will... Yeah. Get it that way. But yeah, for the most part, once they announce it, everybody who wants to know about it is going to know about it through Twitter, through YouTube, through something.
It would be to be a wrestling fan right now and not know anything about it is almost impossible.
Yeah. So, all right, anything else this week?
I think that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you want to go ahead and send us your response to Firefest, we'll talk more about that on our next show. Send that all to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
That's correct. We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on Inside Pulse, we'd like to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.